Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Aleph. We're holding the third line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins, Ulur Birmiya Bar Abba, the Omar Achiri Haksav Ukneged Haksav Mibachutz. What is this about? You recall that yesterday we began the new parak, and we found out that this very interesting shtar called a Get Mekushar, even though it's called Get, we said it's not Dafka and Get Isha, even a Get Choiv. What was the reason why they made this elaborate Get Mekusher? Because the Kahanim, who some of whom were Kahsonim, difficult people, and we were afraid that Chas V'Sholom, if they get into the height of their fury, if they really get hot-headed, they may decide to go and give a get to their wives, and subsequently they're going to regret that decision, and then it will be too late to take back their wives, because a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, not even his own Grusha.
So would that have relevance for a Chov, though? Would you ever have a Get Mekusha for a Chov? I'm a little puzzled now.
Okay.
I'll let you go. I'm sorry.
It's okay. So, because we're afraid that the Kehanim are going to be very hot-headed and go and give a Get to their wives, guess what's going to happen? Afterwards, they wake up the next morning. What did I do? I'd like to take her back. Too late. She's an Isha Grusha, and he can't take her back. So therefore, the Chum made this very elaborate set of rules and regulations, vis-a-vis the Get Mekusha. We discussed a lot of it yesterday, including that they made folds in the shtar, including that they made special room for the Chasimos. You have to have three Edom and not just two Edom, and so on and so forth. And the Gemara explained that Shulei Tachlik Bein Get or Bein Shtarois, they instituted that the same thing should apply across the board by Kehanim, that a Get Mekusher, not only by a Get Isha, but even by Shar Shtaris Nami. Now, for those of you that are wondering, where did this appear in the Gemara? This appeared three quarters down the Omid Beis. The Gemara said, Hatena Gitten, Shtaris Ma'ikal Meimer. Why do you say by a Shtar the same halacha applies? Not to make a distinction between Gittin and Shtaris. What does that mean, not to make a distinction? So we looked at the second Toisus yesterday on the Omid Beis. If people will say, oh, you made this elaborate Get Choiv, and you're going to say, well, sorry, fellow, this was only instituted by Get Isha, not by a regular Shtar. By a regular Shtar, it's possible. Or so the Mitzvah begin, and they'll say that this whole type of new contraption is possible everywhere. Oh, so therefore, not to undermine the sanctity and the efficacy of a get, they said, if you make this type of elaborate folds and signatures and additional edim, all of that is great, not only by get, even by shtaris. Inam, another reason, ilay avdi shtari choy mekusher, if you're not going to go and institute that this can be used for a shtar choiv, then what's going to happen is it's going to fall into disuse. Because, after all, how many gittin are written? Today, unfortunately, there are more. Years ago, a get was a very, very rare item, especially if you're talking about in a relatively small community. There might be maybe one get a year, maybe one get in 2 years. And therefore, obviously, the scribes were busy writing Shtori Choy, but they weren't busy writing Gittin. So if you're not going to give them the opportunity to figure out how to make folds and stitches and all the rest, then when it's come to a get, they're going to forget how to do it. Let me talk Shahurgulu, Lasois, and Mekusher, Yasim, and Gittin, etc., etc. And we discussed yesterday that eventually this whole Get Mekusher, in fact, did come into disuse to the point that even Rebbe was not sure how a Get Mekusher exactly was structured. And in today, if you look in the Torah, or the Shulchan Aruch, or the Rambam, they don't even bring the concept of Get Mekusher, because by their times, this had already been abandoned. In fact, the Taptoises talks about this a little bit. Taknu Rabbanan Mekusher, the Taptoises and Kuf Samach Amid Beis. Misapkalam Bizman Hazeh, today, times of Toises. Yishekoyin Megarish Ishtayim Tzorech Lasois Mekusher. Is there an Indian that a Kohen should dafka makim mekusher to hold back in case he's bekas, that we won't have a problem that he goes and gives a get and then he won't be able to take his wife back? from the Gemara, from the Mishnayos, it sounds like that that's what they're supposed to do. Ach lefisha ein ona bekiyin boy betoiv. Since we unfortunately are not really bucky exactly how they did the get mekusher, nochen yoise lasoise poshut shukal yoise. Yes, go back to the normal regular get poshut. Inami leitakin rabbanu kim bi oise makar. It could also be that they didn't do it throughout klal yisrael, only in certain places where you had hot headed kohanim, but not throughout the world. V'rihaya oimer tetakin rabbanu mekusher loishiye choy lasoise kain. Even at the times of the Get Mekusher, this was not a choiv, or you had to do it if you're a kohen, but rather this is like an etzatoyve kamash mulan. If you want to be able to give a certain buffer zone, give a time period that people can have, that cooler heads will prevail, tell the kohen, I got a good idea for you. Let's do and get Mekusha. It's so nice, and you'll be able to hang it up, and you'll fold it, and yeah, it's a good idea. And as a result, by doing that, then, Miyat Hashem, it will delay matters, and by the time it comes to actually writing out and doing it and giving it, it'll say, oh, you know, I changed my mind. Anyway, bottom line is the institution of get Mekusha is no longer Bizman Hazeb for practical reasons that people don't know how to do it, and it fell into disuse. So getting back to our Gemara, that was all kind of the general background that we learned about yesterday. And then we had a discussion, where were the signatures? The Mishnah really told us that you have to have three Edom, but exactly where did those signatures appear? And then we started Machlokes about that, again, right after which we just quoted about the Gittin and Shtoreth, the Gemara said, Heichen, Edom, Choismin, where do the Edom sign? We brought a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yemiya Bar Abba. We already discussed Rav Huna yesterday. Good morning, David. Today's daf is Kuf Samach Aleph, but we're just going over the last piece of Kuf Samach Amid Beis. So if you go down three quarters of the Amid, it's parallel to the Toisich, which begins Vim Isa Ein Zman Vein Edom. We'll just run through this quickly. I would ask people to hold off on asking less than 100 questions, since we already went through this yesterday. Rav Huna Amar, where do you write the word of the Edom sign? Ben Kesher the Kesher, between the folds which are at the top. Rav Yimber Abba Amar, Achoyri Aksavu, Keneger Aksavim Bechutz. No, no, not in between the folds, but in back of the Ksav. In other words, take the get, put it up to the light, see where the lines are in the front where there's Ksav, and have the Edom sign in back of that Ksav, on the back of the Shtar. We're going to talk more about Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba shortly. Just to go quickly again through Rav Huna. Omli Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chizda, Rami Bar Chama, the Edom Rav Chizda said to Rav Chizda, Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, the Omer ben Kesher leKesher. Kosol Kedaiten, we assumed, what does that mean? Ben Kesher leKesher, Migavoy, meaning from the front of the Shtar. That after they made the fold, stitched it up, then you have the Edom signing there between one Kesher and the other. But that doesn't sound likely, because Rebbe one time had this Shaila Beget Mekushin coming in front of him. Rebbe starts reading through the Shtar, and he says, I can't believe it. There's no Zman here. V'yom Rebbe ein Zman b'zeh. Where's the date on the Shtar? Amle Reb Shim b'Rebbe l'Rebbe. So Reb Shim b'Rebbe, his son, said to Tati, Shema ben Kshorev Muvla. Maybe in the stitching, then some of the words got caught up, enclosed in the stitching itself. If we open up the stitching, maybe we'll find this man. Yeah, and probably with Daitaka cut open the stitching, they took a nice razor, opened it up, oh, this man is there, Baruch Hashem. Frankly, Marvim Isa, if you're going to go and tell me that the signature was being Kesher the Kesher, just like this man was swallowed up in that shtar by the folds, you would think the same thing should apply to the Edom as well, that they also would have been enclosed within the fold. Why didn't he ask about the Edom? So since he didn't ask about the Edom, apparently he didn't expect that Edom would be signed Bein Kesher LeKesher. And that's why he didn't...
On the inside.
On the inside.
Yeah.
And therefore, I don't see it. He didn't ask about why he didn't see it, because he figured it's not going to be there. But according to Rav Huna, then Rebbe should have asked, where's this man and where the Edom signed? Every Ma'amalei, Misavet Ben Kesher LeKesher Migavoy. You're making a big mistake. You think Ben Kesher LeKesher means from the inside of the Shtar. No, Ben Kesher LeKesher Migavoy, from the outside of the Shtar. Outside meaning either the on top of the folds or in the backside of the Shtar in the back. And then you're going to ask me, well, if he holds in the back, then what's the difference between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yirmiyah that we had been Rabbi Baraba? Gemara is going to talk about Rabbi Yirmiyah Abba shortly on the Amud Aleph. But in the meantime, main Keshe, the Keshe Mi'avroi, not underneath, enclosed, enveloped within the Keshe, but from the outside. I have a big problem now. The Gemara said earlier, again here on the Amud Beis, that although by the Shtar Mekusher he made these folds, the folds didn't go over the entire Shtar, it was only on the Toref, and not on the Toface. Aha, the Toface was the, they call the boilerplate, which you just are standard in all Shtars. What happens, we're going to make the three folds at the top, and we're going to make all the Adam sign, and that's going to be great. But then the rest of the Shtar, a normal Shtar, where do you have the Chasimus? Right at the end of the bottom of the Shtar. But here, there are no Chasimus in the bottom of the Shtar, so the bottom of the Shtar could continue on for another 5 lines, 10 lines, 20 lines, another page, 5 pages. I get, of course, the Chachalim make 12 lines, but since we said that this Get Mekusher implies even to Gitte Chayiv, so then at the end he can throw in an additional, and don't forget that you owe me $1 million that I lent you yesterday, and blah, blah, blah. So who stops people from adding additional words at the end? V'nechesh Dil Mezayif, maybe he's going to be Mezayif, he's going to counterfeit a mega forgery, V'kosa Maide Boy, and he's going to add that, V'chasimi Saadi, and the Edom are going to be signed from the top or from the back, and therefore, how, what prevents someone from adding additional terms at the end of the Shtar? Says he went to Chsibe Shor V'kayim. It's standard policy, standard procedure, that when you finish off the Shtar, you always write Hakol Shor V'kayim, which means the end, with a big exclamation point, finished. So you can't add anything to that. Maybe there was already a one Shor V'kayim, and then the person who is a master of deception adds another line or two, and then again writes the word Shor V'kayim. He says, well, that you don't have to worry about. Chad Shor V'kayim Kosvin, and Chad Trei Shor V'kayim Le'Kosvin. You don't write two ends. You finish off a story, this is the end. Oh, and by the way, I have another line, and this is the end. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And therefore, it's got to be, by putting in the words Hakol Shor V'kayim, you don't have to worry. You know what he might do? There's already a Shor V'kayim where it was supposed to be at the end of the Shtar, and then this fellow comes with an eraser. He erases the Shor V'kayim, and he writes on top of it, and don't forget you owe me $1 million. And then he writes a new Shor V'kayim at the end of that additional sentence.
With Oscar, even that it comes in your time, the Mamalesh.
He's going to be moichik it. He's going to write Shor V'kayim on top of the mochik. He's going to write something else like, and don't forget that you owe me $1 million. And then he's going to write a new Shor V'kayim. So, Bazoi, what have we accomplished by saying Shor V'kayim? You can do a mochik, write on top of that, write another line or two, and write another Shor V'kayim. So, tomorrow, Rabbi Yochanan, that's not going to work. No is possible, even if it's Alpha Pisha Mekoyim. Now this kiyum that we're talking about is not the henpeg that we normally think about, that the Bezdin puts its verification, authentication at the end of the Shtar, but rather we're talking about the Soifer himself. The Soifer does not want anybody to question the authenticity and the validity and the efficacy of the Shtar. So what does he do? If there is a problem, he's going to go and make note of it before the Shor V'kayim. So such as, what happens on the third or fourth line of the Shtar? They forgot to go and put in the address, or they forgot to go and put in two or three words, right? He was writing quickly, and then he goes back, oh, I left out two or three words. So what should he do? So some Sofrim, if there's enough room between the line of space on top and the line of, no, not the line of space, the line which he wrote in, and the next line which he wrote, if between in the first, between the third sentence and the fourth sentence, and the third line and the fourth line, there is some space, what he might do is, he'd write in small little letters those words which should be inserted, and in English we'd do these upside down carrots to go and show that these words are missing. Then someone may question and say, oh, see, missing words, suspended, sounds like a deception over here, sounds like a forgery. So what the Soifer does is, after he finishes the total text of this normal document, and he says, and by the way, Rabbi Yisai, you see those words which are tluyos, which are suspended between line 3 and line 4, I did it because I made a mistake, and that's why they are suspended there. So don't be in suspense why you have suspended letters. It was my toys. And then you send Shor V'Kayim. So that's what we call Tluya Mikuyamis. Tluya that you had suspended words, and he's Mekayim it by writing at the end, I made that mistake, and that's why we inserted those words. So that's kosher. There's no problem with that. However, if there was a Mechika, and the Mechika is Davka, at the end of the Shtar, would you anticipate finding the words HaKushar V'Kayim? Where would you anticipate that? Because right before the HaKushar V'Kayim, you go and say, B'mona de'koshel miknayibay, and then you throw in HaKushar V'Kayim. In other words, that not only did we write all of this out in the Shtar, but in fact we coupled it with a mona de'koshel miknayibay, with a Kinyan Tzidur, just to make this HaKushar V'Kayim, that it should be valid and of full force and effect, and no question to its validity, and blah, blah, blah. Aha. So if at that point you see that someone took out the HaKushar V'Kayim, and you don't know which words were written there previously because it was a good mechika, a good erasure, but the person then added after the money of the Koshal Miknayibay, and don't forget you owe me $1 million, and then added the HaKushar V'Kayim, as Barry said yesterday, it doesn't pass the smell test, and it's no good. And even if you were to write in that last line, and by the way, Chevra, these words that were mechika is because I made a mistake, and it should have said all along these magic words that you owe me $1 million. No. Afu pisha mekuyim, even if he repeats it and he explains it, doesn't work. And the Rishbam explained as an amplification of the next few words, v'le omru machak posel el memokim shor v'kayim ukishir shor v'kayim. It would only be a problem if it's nicker that it's at the end of the shtar. For instance, after the words mana means the kli that you can use to be koine for the kinyan sudr. If after that it's missing, or not that it's missing, if there's an erasure and additional words are written and he explains himself, that doesn't work. However, for instance, what happens if, just like we had the suspended words between line 3 and 4, there was a mechika on line 3 or line 4, and on that mechika, the person continued writing the shtar like normal, and at the bottom he says, and by the way, back on line 3, there was a mechika and erasure, don't worry about it, I made a mistake, and those are the correct words, and now HaKushar V'Kayim, says, that would work, that's fine, because that's snicker that the cipher made a mistake at all, cipher. So these things happen. So, Davka, if it's at the end where you would expect the HaKushar V'Kayim, but Emtzakzav, it's on line 3-4, then you could have a mechika and it still works perfectly. So this was the review of what Rav Huna said yesterday. But now we're up to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, the Omer Achoyri HaKsav, Ukneged HaKsav Mi Bachutz, Leichesh Dil Maksiv Mi Gavoy Mai Deboy, Umachdim Sahad Yeseri Mi Avroy. Since, after all, we said that when it comes to a Get Mekusher, although the minimum is 3, you can have 4, 5, 10, 28, as much as you want. And you don't have the Edom signing on the bottom of the Shtar, you have them signing on the back of the Shtar. From the Gemara, from the Shbamis Mashma, not only did they go and sign in the back of the top where you had the Kefilds, there you certainly had to have a minimum of 3 folds and a minimum of 3 Edom signed on the back, but apparently they continued signing even on the back of the toifis on the bottom. They kept on signing additional Edom, because the more the merrier. You can have as many Edom as you want. So what happens if initially this Shtar Choyv is all of 10 lines, and they had 10 Edom, for instance, signed on it? Who stops someone from adding yet another paragraph and say, and don't forget, you owe me $1 million for this, and remember you borrowed money on that, and you still have a balance on this Choyv, and who knows what, and then have a whole bunch of Edom signed on the back, and it sounds great. And Rishbam says we're talking about a shtar where they didn't write the Shor V'Kayim at the end of the shtar, and so therefore we don't know where the end is. The end is wherever you finish you're writing. So since the Edom are always signing on the back, they're not signing on the bottom. Leichish, let's be scared, let's be noivis, till Makasa Mikavoy Maidabai, one of the two parties, who unfortunately is not a nice guy, he's going to throw in at the end whatever he wants. And to show the bona fide, he's going to be Machdim Sahan the Yisayim Evroi, he'll bring more Edom to sign on the back. Now, this doesn't have to take place at the closing, or at the time of the original Chayv. On the original Chayv, the whole shtar had only 10 lines. Goodbye, he gave him the money, finished. And then after the Malva took this shtar back home, he went and he himself, or he took a cipher and added another 3-4 lines. And the above Chayv is in addition to the oral Chayv which I gave you yesterday, and then the oral Chayv Ishtar, the one I gave you 3 days ago. And then he finds a couple of fellows, oh, could you, that we forgot to sign here in the back. Could you sign? Oh, sure, I'll be happy. We really have 3-4 Edom, 10 Edom. So, yeah, we'll sign as well. So he's Machtham Sadi, he saved me, Ephraim. But Omar, I know the Ravis, but Edom would have they especially did it because I think that the more Edom, the merrier. I mean, the whole point of the Shtar Mekusher is to be Marbe Edom. So instead of just 3 Edom, I have 5, I have 10, I have 20 Edom. So what stops him? Omar, he told me, you're making a fundamental error. Misavris Edom Kisidron Chasimi Edom Imatel Amale Chasimi. Oh, you're thinking that the Edom sign parallel to the writing on the front. No. They sign perpendicular to the writing on the front. What does that mean, perpendicular? So for those of you that have the art scroll, and those that you do not, Ariel being the tzaddik that he is happy to go and share it with everybody else, that you start from the last line of Ksav, you work your way up, but in a perpendicular fashion. So you, here in this Gemara, it's Reuven ben Yaakov, 8. So you'll notice in the art scroll, the Reuven, the Reish of Reuven starts at the very bottom of where the line is, or where the Ksav is on the other side. So if you turn it to, if you put it up to the light, on one side you see all the parallel lines of the Shtar, thank you. And then if you turn it to the other side, then you see that the Chasimais begin on that final line going up. Notice in this picture, he doesn't have that all three chasimas start from the bottom line. Only the final chasima starts from the bottom line, and the other two start wherever they want. But again, they are perpendicular to the ksav on the front side. Rishbam calls it appropriately that if the front is written in Shesi style, then the chasimas are in Arif style. And if they are in Arif style, then the chasimas are in Shesi style, just like we call a Shesi v'Arif by a Yoizel, we call a Shesi v'Arif, which means that the two are perpendicular to each other. Ah, so now you don't have to worry, because since the first eight is signing all the way in the bottom, at the very end of that last paragraph, if you were to add another paragraph, the final eight ended a paragraph earlier. So you can see that this is a brand new paragraph that was added.
Mechanically, how would that work, though? Because if you fold it and stitch it, mm-hmm. How can they write from the bottom? They'd have to do the chasimas after the entire get was written, and then do the folding and stitching.
So it would appear. Okay. You're constantly thinking about he's going to add additional conditions and add, and don't forget you owe me money and blah blah blah. I have another eitzah for these masters of deception. Instead of that they want to add paragraphs or add sentences, what happens if the last sentence is damaging to him? In other words, that in the shtar itself, it says, in addition to all of the foregoing terms, it says on the last paragraph, the last sentence, and by the way, there's a condition to this chayv that you have to dafka go, and if you don't go and pay by a certain date, I'm going to take away your house, I'm going to do this, whatever additional rights given at the end of the shtar. What happens if he goes and takes a nice razor or a scissors and he cuts off that last line? And you're saying to yourself, yeah, but Reuven's name is on that last line, so it's going to be very, very obvious. Recognizable and obvious that somebody did something.
Or he's going to say Ben Gavir instead of Reuven Ben Gavir.
Oh, so that's what the Gemara answers. Shkoyach. So Zok to Gemara, Nochmo, V'leichesh, let us be choshish, Dilma, Mesrami, Reyes, Reyes, that means something bad to the Baal Hashtar, to the Malver, or whatever, and he sees something bad in it, then he's going to go and cut it b'shita achrenin, that he finds a raise of b'shita achrenin, the guy is like the shita achrenin, he's going to cut it out. The guy is like the Reuven bad day, and the Reuven's name, which is written perpendicular, that will also be cut out. So you're going to say, well, then it's obvious that we tampered with the shtar, and the name is not complete. Umeskashima ben Yaakov 8, and just writing ben Yaakov 8 is sufficient. Now we learned in the Mishnah, ben ish ploini 8, kosher. Just writing ben ish ploini, you don't have to write out your full name, Reuven ben Yaakov 8. Just write ben Yaakov 8 is sufficient. Zokti Yomara, that makes a lot of sense, but d'chsiv, instead of just writing Reuven on that final line, we're going to write Reuven ben b'chad dor. And therefore, if you're going to go and cut that final line, you're going to have to cut out the Reuven ben. And all you're going to have left is the Yaakov 8 ilave. And that's going to be obviously clear, Yaakov 8, but that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, that's how we will know that you can't, that this person tampered if he cuts out the last line, because it says Reuven ben, it's only Yaakov 8 left over. Same question. Fine, you cut out the Reuven ben, but even Yaakov 8 alone is also enough. That now we learned in the Mishnah ish ploini 8 kosher. That if it says ish ploini, in other words, not ish ploini ben ploini, but just Yaakov 8 is kosher. So we have again the same problem. Even if you're makbid to go and have the Adam sign Reuven ben on that first line of ksav perpendicularly, and now you cut it off, but if it says now Yaakov 8, it will also be kosher. So what stops a person from doing that? If the mother looks at 8. Talking about a shtar that you didn't write 8. In other words, you only said Reuven ben Yaakov, it didn't say Reuven ben Yaakov 8. And by now cutting out Reuven ben, it's only going to say Yaakov. Doesn't make sense. Reuven ben Yaakov, I understand, that's a witness. Yaakov alone, sounds like it was just somebody playing and writing words over there as Gurdish. That's one test. People say with the oil of the cost of 8, even if it does say 8, the din ba teha chasimois yada love the yankev hu, meaning every star the chasimois have to be susceptible to verification and authentication. As long as it says Reuven ben Yaakov, the local bezdin presumably has a general idea of how many Reuven ben Yaakovs you have in the town. After all, we're not talking about a metropolis like New York. The small little town of Hoydinanash or Gishkin Holosh didn't have so many Jews to start off with, and they knew all the Reuven ben Yaakov. So even if he took out the Reuven or the Reuven and just left it ben Yaakov, okay, how many ben Yaakovs are there? Oh, that Reuven ben Yaakov, that's all that. So somebody will say, I know this ben Yaakov is referring to Reuven ben Yaakov. Yes, I recognize the signature, it's ben Yaakov, it's missing Reuven, yeah, but I recognize it, and you can go and verify the 8. However, if it only says Yaakov 8, then who's Yaakov? Well, I know there are 12 Yaakovs, we asked the Gabin Shul, the 12 Yaakovs that come to davening, 12 Yaakov. This does not look anything like a Yaakov Chasim. That being the case, they won't even know how to begin going to Mekayim, the Chasim. Therefore, says Yimara, that's why that's not going to work. So we don't have to worry about that he's going to go and cut out Reuven Ben, because since they didn't write the word 8, he only had the word Yaakov. Since you can't verify the signature, then the shtar is going to be puzzle. I don't have to worry. But Freitimor v'dilma b'shmei da'avua chosab. Maybe this fellow, he wanted to give cover to his father, and therefore he figured, who am I compared to my father? My father was a genius. My father was such a tzaddik. So instead of writing his name, that was his custom. He would write the name of his father, and therefore when he wrote Yaakov, people would realize, Reuven, he always writes his father's name, L'shem Kavoy. So come on, I never heard of something like that, that somebody should go and not sign a star in his own name, but he should always use his father's name. Right, tomorrow, why not? Maybe he used his father's name, not as a substitute for his name, but as a simon. What do you mean as a simon? We know the Rav Tzair Kav, Rav Chanina Tzair Charusa, Rav Chizra Samach, Rav Hoshia Ayin, Rav Baravuna Makusa. All of these great rabbis, when they signed, they didn't just sign their name. Instead of signing their name, they made some sort of symbolic picture, if you will. In the case of Rav, he made the picture of a fish, and that was everybody knew when you saw a fish at the end of Ishtar, they didn't say it was fishy. They would say, oh, that's Rav's signature. Rav always makes a
signet ring or like.
I don't know what the signet ring
is. Like a logo.
No, but this is not a logo, it was a haigo. This is what Rav used to do. And yes, Shelley, I'm sure you have a comment on that. Yeah.
He did it in the name of his father, name of the father.
Okay. So Goyim did do that.
Like Shulis Joe Jackson, right?
Okay. You know, I know, but Goyim, many of them add the triple. I had a partner at my firm. His name was.
The third.
It was Edward Roberts the third. Because his father apparently was Edward and the great grandfather. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that was his name too. But anyway, Zalzana Zoy. So Rav made a fish, and Reb Chanina made a charusa. Charusa means like a title boim. Title boim is a palm tree, shkoyach. And you can find by the satmaras that some of them they go make a picture of a palm tree if their name is title boim. They probably write their name as well, but they sometimes make such a picture. And Reb Chizi used to put
they date it.
They date it because it's a palm tree has dates. Yeah, thank you. Hi, Rav Chizda he used to make a big samach, and samach for Chizda. And Rav Oishi made an ayin, and Rav Bar Rav Huna made a makusa. Makusa says Rishba means a mast, like you have the top of a ship. So maybe the person he put in the word Yaakov. Now you're wondering why did they do that? It's an interesting Rishba, who's almost so semineuve on the same line. The Torah de Dibur seems to be contradicts himself. If you look, the second of the narrow lines, Rav Tzayer Kavra, Tzuras Adag Hoya Oisa Bishtorais B'Mokum Chasimasei. He used to go make the figure of a dog instead of a chasima. Ukvar Yedul Oyel. Everybody knew at that time Shizehu Chasimasei Umoyel Kachasima Shmoy. Since this is the standard way, he would always sign documents. Anytime a document like that would come into a bezin with such a picture of a fish, they would say. Does that look familiar? Of course, Rav signs all the time like that. And they were Makayim the Shtar based on that Chasima, the picture of the fish. And now, look at the Rishbam. V'mafarish tam, if somebody wants to give a reason, amai tzayir kavra v'charusa, ein elitoy, he's wasting his time. Why did Rav make dafka fish? And why did Chmaniya dafka v'charusa? And then Rishbam says, v'shema b'maybi al shem ma'aseyim, maybe because of their normal daily activities. Zed nohag lechol dogim. Rav used to eat a lot of fish. Vezed nohag v'tamarim. And Achoni used to eat a lot of dates. And therefore, simu ba'almoyos. And therefore, to remind themselves and to remind other people, you know, I consume a lot of fish. That's why I make a picture of a fish. And I eat a lot of dates. And I made that. So Rishbam says anybody that's trying to conjure up and try to figure out why they did it, he's just a toyer. But maybe, you know, could be that the reason is, why isn't Rishbam himself toyer by coming up with these conjectures? Questions. But anyway, in other words, it could be that Rishbam is just saying, if you think that the reason why he's making a fish because there's some sort of a deep significance, like Mazel Odor is dogim, so maybe he only signs his documents only during Odor, or maybe even if he signs in the middle of Kislev, he's already thinking about Odor and everyone. Adibamorim Hashem, and maybe some great depth and school of something special.
Mashal explaining. Here with Mashal. They think Nizar, the Dalim, covered Shabbos. Okay, tomorrow in Taivim.
I mean, that's a beautiful shot. But the question is, why does Rishbam say that anybody that tries to figure out and then make a conjecture and they try to say, Machshava, maybe it's because of a particular reason? I'm a Farish Tam. Ain't the other toy. It's not the other toy. Marshals is a beautiful reason. Because he was mapped after on Shabbos to eat grace and fish and he ate dates. Okay, anyway. A tzayin tzorachim, but again, perhaps Rishbam means to say that there's some sort of real in-depth
shabbos. I think Rishbam's saying, ain't tzorachim iyun.
Ain't tzorachim? What do you mean?
You can't know the reason.
You shouldn't delve into it.
Okay, but then. And therefore, the reason is just on a simple level because he used to fish.
Because Torah mistake doesn't mean maybe our leaning or gesturing. There may be only conjecturing.
Okay, whatever.
Does Torah mean mistake is the question.
Okay.
Because Torah may be in Shema. Maybe he's Toa. He's Notea. He's leaning.
Well, whatever it happens to be. Whatever. Sinish can ask you a minute. Bottom line is he made a fish and he made a palm tree and he made a samach, he made an ayin and he made a makusa, a big mast. So that being the case, maybe Reuven ben Yaakov, instead of writing his father's name Yaakov, to mean the substitute for his own name, he made that as his simon. After all, why does a simon have to dafka be the picture of a fish? The simon for my signature could be Yaakov, and that's Yaakov what he wrote.
Sure.
I'm sorry?
Yaakov
Avinu. It was Yaakov Aviv. So maybe that's the reason why. You don't take your father's name and make it into a symbol like a fish or like a tree or like a date tree, because your father you should hold in great respect
also,
and reverence.
A name's a name. It's not a symbol, meaning you're going to confuse. I mean, you have to write, Yaakov the symbol, or otherwise, how is it?
If you put a trademark sign next to it, you know it's a symbol.
Or you have a coat of arms, and you know.
Yeah, right. But
Yaakov by itself, how can you? Most people will not recognize it as a symbol, or as a name.
What you've asked is an excellent question. That's perhaps part of the teretz also. The chutz v'nish, you're not going to go and make symbols out of names, because people don't make symbols out of names. Good.
So
anyway,
saying all along that he did the perpendicular, he put the signature perpendicular.
Yes.
So therefore, so what was going to happen? We're worried about that the person's going to cut off the last line.
The last line.
He's going to cut off that which says
Reuven on it.
Right.
So he cut that off, and now the signature's going to appear Ben Yaakov A.
Right, okay.
So you say, well, that's a possible signature.
Right.
No, but not Ben Ish Ploini A. Kosher. So therefore, the last line is going to have very important information. There are conditions and additional provisions.
He's going to keep this property for this loan.
Exactly. And he's going to cut it off, and then he's going to make a forgery.
Right.
Sending Mara, it's talking about that he didn't just cut off that last line. There were makbits, right? Not just Reuven, but Reuven Ben.
Yeah.
But they're friends anymore, but Yaakov Eid is also enough. So either we left out the Eid, and then Yaakov doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Or even if they left the Eid in, that we Gemara said, how are we going to be able to go and do a chasima verification just in Yaakov Eid? So your friends anymore, maybe he's just going to write the word Yaakov, because instead of writing Reuven, he always gave his father's name out of respect. Gemara said, people don't do that.
Okay.
So maybe he's going to make a simon out of it. Nah, he's not going to make a simon out of a name. You make a simon like Ariel said so beautifully. You don't use a name for a symbol. You go and use a fish for a symbol or a tree for a symbol. And the Rishbam and the Gemara also said, it's a shikl chutzpah to use your father's name as a simon. Marzuchu was not happy with all of these explanations. Marzuchu, Amar, why do you have to get into all of this back and forth? And he cuts out Reuven, he cuts out Ben, he leaves Yaakov. Nah! Kol Mekushashayin, aid of Kolin, Meshita, Achas, is possible. What is Mazutra adding? Mazutra says it's not just one signature starts from the bottom, all three signatures start from the bottom. And all three of those names are not the exact same length. So if you look, and again in the art scroll, we have another beautiful picture.
So they're all justified along one
right, justified.
One of them happens to be Reuven, the other, let's say, is Chaim, and the other is going to be Noach. And therefore, if you're going to go and say Reuven, let's assume that the width of that line is a line which perpendicular to it, you have room for five letters for Reuven. What happens if one of the guy's names is not Reuven, his name is Noach? So he's going to write Noach Ben. What happens? The other guy's name is Chaim. So he's going to write Chaim then. So this one, you're going to cut off the entire name Reuven. However, you're going to cut off Chaim Ben, both Chaim and Ben. And then the third one, you're going to have Noach or Noach and Ben. And then Chaim, then maybe Ben, it's going to be in the middle of the word. Or if you're going to tell me, we're going to write it so that all the names come out exactly the same. If you cut all three names off, and all of them are going to go and say Ben, and all are going to go and say just the father's name.
It's fishy.
That looks so fishy. Come on.
You need Rav to make a fishy sense.
Exactly. That Reuven does such funny things that he leaves out his first name, he writes just Ben Yaakov. Okay, there are people like that. But three names, all of them are Ben Yaakov, or all Ben Yaakov, Ben Reuven, Ben Avrom, Ben Yitzchak. Yeah. Or that one of them is missing even the Ben, the other just have the Yaakov. Oh, that looks just so fishy. So therefore, since they all start Peshit Achas, you don't have to worry, says Matrusha, you don't have to ask all these kashas, mitzvah simonim, mitfish, mitvus, and yet. Good. So this is basically the conclusion of the discussion about the where and how the chasimas were written.
So now, it's so fair to say, hey, you fill in the blank right here, start here, and finish here. Even one guy's name is Noah,
mm-hmm.
The other's name is Yekutiel.
Mm-hmm.
So you say Yekutiel, you have to write very small print. No,
no, no, no. You all start from the last line.
Justified.
Just keep it up till
but
till
you
the
have
end.
To end at the same place.
You don't have to end at the same place.
Well, the Rishbam says that that's apparently what they did, either Mamata, Lamata, 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 that they should go the entire length. You'll notice over here, they also try to cover the whole length of the signatures. So apparently they try to get them all parallel to one another so that you don't have to worry about cutting over here, cutting over there. So they were all parallel and they went from top to bottom or bottom to top to cover the waterfront, so to speak. If you want to take a quick look at the Rishbam, three lines before the wide lines. Marzutra Amar. Lama lecha kol hani shinuya dechiki l'rbiyam b'raba. Why do you have to have ask all these kashas, all these truths? Hachi sfir leisha kol shtar mekusher einem chasumen mimachutz achoy reksab li'orkoi meiroishoi l'soifoi from beginning to end. Bein mal mala l'mata, bein mal mata l'mala. Vein edov kolen b'shita achas. And if the Edom don't end in one particular place, possible. Not like the original picture in the art scroll, that only the bottom Reuven started from the last line and the other two were higher up or lower down or whatever. No. All of them got to start from the same place. Well, the same Mishav and end in the same place. That's why these three names, even though they're not exactly the same, they go and end more or less the same. Hilkoch ben Shemaschilin. Lachtem shloshim keneged shita achroina, dahinu lamata lamala. Vein shemaschil lachtem keneged shita rishoina, mesayimim b'shita achroina. If you're going to start from the top, you have to make sure you go all the way to that last line, because that was the whole kasha in the first place. Maybe he's going to add a line or two, and the chasimis are not going to be there. Oh, make sure that the final letter of the final name goes to that last line. So start from the beginning, go to the bottom, or start from the bottom, go up to the top. If their signatures are going to end at that last line, and then you add another line of ksav, then the chasima doesn't go to the end. You don't have to worry about cutting at the end, like we said. The guy is Chan ben Edom, guy is Kulu. You're not just taking off the name of Reuven. You're taking off Reuven, and you're taking off Noach, and you're taking off Chaim, with or without the ben. So, therefore, that's the best Eitzah. And then the Rishbam goes into another Inyan. But getting back to our Gemara, so this we have concluded, why don't have to be concerned about the placement and the signatures of the three Eitzah. We're getting back just for a moment about what we spoke at the bottom of the Kuf Samach Amid Beis, that if you had Tluya and Mekuyemes Ksheira, then Mochak, and then you have a Mekuyem, it's possible. And you remember we said that it's only possible if it's towards the end where you expect the words Haklashar of Akayim to appear, and those were removed, and then they added another one or two sentences, another couple of lines. Ooh, then it's fishy. But if it's on line 3 or 4 in the middle of the document, then it's not fishy. You know, everybody can make mistakes, and they didn't have the computers to be able to push the delete button, just like you said, or to add, etc. So, Omer Bi Yitzchak, but also Omer Bi Yochanan, Kol Hamachakin Kulan Tzarech Sheyichtoiv V'Dein Kiyum Mehen. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan two things. Number one, any machak in middle line 3, line 4, you made an erasure and then you wrote on top of it something else. So you have to write at the end the Dein Kiyumein. The Dein Kiyumein means, and this is now the repeat or the certification of what I said earlier. The Rishbam says you don't have to write the word V'Dein, just say Kiyumein. That I'm now writing at the end, I'm certifying that the erasure on line 3 was in fact done intentionally because of a mistake, and then finish off the kiyum, and then haklashar v'kai. So that works nicely. And the final line on your shtar, you should always repeat something that was said earlier in the shtar. Why is this so important that you repeat what you said earlier in the shtar? My timer. Because you're not supposed to go and learn from that shita achrayna. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Gemara mean to say is that we are very concerned for people that add on the last line new conditions or new terms that didn't appear until now, and they did it post after the shtar had already been written, and then somebody squeezed in another few words, and it's talking about that they didn't write HaKosher V'Kayim, so therefore you cannot tell that after HaKosher V'Kayim they added these words. He just added another sentence. Oh, yoy, yoy. If you're going to allow people to go and interpret the shtar based on that final line you might add an additional condition. And if you're going to ignore that condition, then maybe the whole shtar is going to be possible, because the whole shtar says it's only at that very, very final line says, and all of the foregoing is subject to the following condition, and then if you're not going to, if you're going to ignore that final condition, you're not going to do it, so then you didn't fulfill the condition. So therefore, don't start anything new on the last line, just repeat from you had before. So if you look at the Rishbam, if you look at the last Rishbam here on the Amud Beis, V'tzorach Shiyachzor, says Rishbam. Well, let's go to the Rishbam earlier, since it's all part of it. Kol ha-machakim kulan tzorach shiyichdev kiyumein v'leigoras, then you can take out the day that we have in the Gemara. U'pirish, kol ha-machakim shen einon b'mokim shor v'kayim, it's not at the end. The Omri and the El, we said before, that if it's all at the end, then you got a problem. But if it's in the middle, line 3, line 4, k'sheirim, tzorach l'kayim b'sef eshtar, lefnei shor v'kayim. Make sure, at the very end of the shtar, right over there, that the erasure on line 3, I, the Sofer, did it, and it was intentional, and blah, blah, blah. HaKosher V'Kayim. Shem Einam Mekiyam Ikalamei Meshem Mochak V'Ziyev V'Igiya Ker Tzainai. The Achshen Nichtu V'Shtar. Otherwise, we'll say that the person who's holding on to the Shtar might have made a slight emendation in the middle of the Shtar by erasing and writing a couple of words over there after the Shtar was written. L'Ach Shechos Mo'edim. Also, to make sure that nobody played any tricks over here, didn't do something fishy, what they do is that the soifer that made a mistake and erased signs at the end, not signs. He finishes off before the Hakosher V'Kayim. Note that on line 3 there's an erasure. This was done intentionally because I made a mistake. Hakosher V'Kayim. V'tzoch Shiach says it's Rishba. Zeu she'onu kois m'soif ha'shtar. At the end of the shtar we always write the kanina min ployni bar ployni liploini. In other words, ployni bar ployni. Ruvain handed over to Shimon. They made this kinyan mit asudr. So why does he write Kachol Ma de Kosum Afarish Le'el? That in itself is a kefil. In other words, they made a kinyan on all of the foregoing terms. That in itself is either explicitly or implicitly saying we're repeating what we said before. And that's why when it says in our Gemara Tzorach Shiyachzor, that's how we explain it. Don't write any new chidushim over here. We don't mean chidushim Torah. I mean, don't write any new conditions and new terms. B'shum tonight, shashtar toli boy, she'ne kosa l'mala. Anything which is new, which is not written previously in the shtar, then that's going to invalidate the shtar. Come on, we're not going to review it. We're not going to pay any attention to it. If in fact that was the original intention, mita tanai, write the tanai in the body of the document. Don't write it in the final line, because if you write it in the final line, we're going to ignore it. Ein lemeid mishit ishita achrayna. That's what the Gemara says at the top. If we're going to ignore it. People are going to go ahead with the shtar as if this tonight doesn't exist. And they're going to be goyva against the law. Only those things which you don't need to know, that you can go and put at the end of the shtar. So what are the things that you don't need to know? Just repeat what you had earlier on. And don't forget, it says on line 2, you have to pay for this property $1 million. And I repeat, $1 million. That's okay, if you're just repeating it. If you're going to ignore it, there's no problem. Since it's only a repeat, nothing to lose. But don't write anything new. Why? Because we don't learn. Let's just start off the Rishbam. By definition, you got to leave some room. You don't have the chasimus right here. Hakosher V'Kayim, Noam, David, Ben Yaakov, Reuven, Ben Yaakov. You always skip a line and you start chasimus on the bottom. So then somebody could go and be mezayif and add something there. So therefore, ignore that line after Hakosher V'Kayim or afterwards nicker that the shtar ended. Don't learn from the shtita chren. Mention to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha.